Welcome to a Monday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, I'll be reacting to what Pat Riley had to say in Monday's end-of-season press conference, including the future of Hassan Whiteside with the Heat, how he thinks the roster can improve, and his view on draft picks. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg. My usual co-host, Dave Vermeil, is out of town and can't be on the show today. He should be back with us later in the week. On today's show, I'll be talking about Pat Riley's end-of-season press conference, doing a read-and-react sort of thing, where I'll read one of Riley's quotes from the presser and I'll react to it, tell you what I think of it and what it means for the Heat this offseason. So let's start with this one, and this is Pat Riley's quote. "Show me the right name. I could be all in on everything. You know me and Mickey," by that he means owner Mickey Arison, "but it's got to be the right name. Our core guys, we would like to keep them together, there's no doubt. We'd like to keep them together, and we'd like to add something to it, but that's going to need to be a challenge. Right now, we have a bunch of guys that could still get better. While internal improvement and development is a huge part of our organization, going outside, looking around, now is the opportunity to have those conversations. Trying to find a transformative player, maybe, is probably what our challenge is going to be." And then he adds later, "I always go back to the very first trade I made here to get Zoe. There are more of those out there." A lot to dive into with that quote, and that was part of a monologue that he opened up with to start the press conference. The press conference went over 45 minutes long, which is typical of these Riley pressers, which are essentially mythical and legendary at this point in his career. But a lot to get into in that opening segment there, and the first question is, who are the core guys that he talks about? During that press conference, he started to give you hints towards who he views as those core guys. He used that phrase, core guys, quite a bit on Monday. He talked highly of Goran Dragic, Kelly Olynyk, Wayne Ellington, and Josh Richardson during the press conference. He may also consider Justice Winslow and James Johnson part of that core. He spoke about Hassan Whiteside as if he'll be in Miami next season. We're going to talk about Whiteside specifically more later on. But based on the hints, again, just based on what he talked about during the 45 minutes that he was up there at that podium, I would think Dragic, Olynyk, Ellington, who's a free agent, and that's kind of interesting, and Josh Richardson, I think, are the core guys. And I wouldn't, and with a high probability that he would put Justice Winslow and James Johnson in there as well. So that's the first question. So if you're talking about building around core guys, right, it's those other pieces around them that Riley probably would prefer to trade and maybe move for that quote-unquote transformative player, that quote-unquote right name. And that leads us to our second question, who is the right name for Pat Riley to kind of push a bunch of those chips in together and move them to the center of the table? Who would that be? Would it be Kawhi Leonard, Kemba Walker, John Wall, CJ McCollum? I mean, he talked later on about Andy Ellsberg. He had a board of 450 targets, whether that be free agent guys, restricted free agent guys that they could put an offer sheet into, or trade targets, that they've got hundreds of guys that they're interested in the league. And I think that's an exaggeration because every roster only has 15 players on it. But that said, I would assume that there are several right names, and there are probably names that maybe we're not even thinking of, and that might be something Pat Riley is alluding to, is that you look at a situation like Kyrie Irving last summer, where nobody thought that he'd be on the move, nobody thought that he would be leaving Cleveland, and he did, and he demanded a trade, and something like that happens on the 11th hour, and you want to be in position to make a move for that. Of course, the Heat weren't in position last summer. They were not in position to make a move for Paul George or Kyrie Irving, but now they have guys under contract. That was not the case last summer. They have picks that they can trade now. That was not necessarily the case last summer. And so they have a little bit more ammunition to work with, right, than they did this time last year. That said, if you're going to go outside of that core, I'm not sure who is really that valuable outside of those core guys? I mean, maybe you try to move a Tyler Johnson contract, but you might have to attach something to him. Does he look at moving Bam Adebayo? You know, I don't know. Does he? Does he look at moving a Deion Waiters, who we talked about a little bit during the press conference, but wasn't a big factor in this team? Spoelstra's talked about the positives of getting Deion back. Who knows if you can even move a guy like Deion Waiters, who still has three more years left on his contract, coming off of a major surgery that kept him out for an entire season. But those would be the pieces, right? Deion Waiters, Tyler Johnson, Bam Adebayo. Maybe you throw in a James Johnson or Justice Winslow. Maybe you're able to tack on a Rodney Magruder as a sweetener if somebody's really interested in him for some reason. And then, of course, you maybe try. I think the Heat are going to try to move Whiteside again. We'll get to him later on. That's a whole other situation. But and then maybe you add in some of those draft picks that Miami could do, and maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough to get you somebody. Maybe. Riley mentioned it's going to be a challenge, and he's right. And especially when you could start playing with the trade machine, and you could find salaries that work, and you can find deals that you could talk yourself into on both sides. But then you have to keep in mind that any deal for a big name is going to be met with a bidding war. And the Heat just are, by ways of assets, they don't have a lot, right? Especially when you compare what they have to some of the war chests that other teams are stacked with, and considering that Miami has no salary cap space, and that's really going to be the only way to improve this team. He talked about that. He said he's got a bunch of guys that could still get better. Internal improvement and development is a huge part of the organization, and that's really what it's going to take for this team to get better. They don't have cap space. We've talked about that a million times. They don't have cap space. They're not going to get cap space. They're nothing significant. They're not going to have enough cap space this summer to sign a max level free agent. Not happening. It's not happening. So the only way to improve is either through internal development or via trade. And Riley basically admitted to as much, not that he has to admit to it, but he basically admitted to as much during that opening of his press conference. Riley had a lot to say about Hassan Whiteside's disappointing playoff performance, but it might not be enough to convince him to trade the big man. We'll talk about that after this quick break. The playoffs are here, and just like the Miami Heat, it's time to step up your game. If you run a company and you're unhappy with the results from traditional advertising online or in print, make a big-time adjustment by advertising with us here on Locked On Heat. We've already got national brands advertising on the show, but it's also a great opportunity for South Florida businesses to connect with local Heat fans. You've heard about the studies already, how podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with advertisers, and how the number of people listening to podcasts continue to grow every year, heck, every month. Be ahead of the curve and start advertising on a podcast with us here at Locked On Heat. You have nothing to lose by reaching out, and our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so it's an efficient use of your time and your money. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com. That's lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company right here on the show. So when Pat Riley was asked about Hassan Whiteside, specifically his playoff performance, Riley said, "There's no doubt he was in a bad state in the playoffs. Whatever the reason why, I have not really sat down with Spo and really talked about all these things. The season started with an injury." He's talking about the injury against Nikola Vucevic, which Spo also talked about at the end of the year. "And all year long, there was a dilemma of some kind. By the time we got to the playoffs, I don't really think he was ready. He wasn't in great shape. He wasn't fully conditioned for a playoff battle mentally. The disconnect between he and Spo, that's going to take a discussion between them, and it's going to take a thought on part of coach and also Hassan. How will Hassan transform his thinking, 99% of it, to get the kind of improvement that Spo wants so he can be effective?" What stands out to me from these quotes is that either Pat Riley is too rigid in his love for traditional bigs and views Whiteside as a future part of this team, or he's extremely realistic and forward-looking and already knows that there's no way that he can trade Hassan Whiteside, that his contract is too enormous, and that Whiteside is too much of a locker room problem and just not valuable enough as a player that anybody in no other of the 29 other teams in the league would be willing to take Whiteside's contract on. So it's one of those two, right? But Riley does, he is talking about Whiteside as if he will be part of the roster at least for next season. And that was troubling to a lot of Heat fans following this thing, at least on Twitter, the people that I follow. And it was troubling to me too. It's not a secret that we are not big fans of Hassan Whiteside on this podcast. It's kind of our thing. But look, Jackie McMullen in an article that came out during the regular season reported that Pat Riley tried to trade Hassan Whiteside at one point. So it's not like, you know, if you believe that, it's not like it's not as if Riley is committed to Whiteside so much that he's not trying to trade him. And he talked about the fact that there's just a lot of guys at that position right now, and it might come down to having to move one of them or change the way that the Heat play. It does sound like Pat Riley would like to see Whiteside be able to play 30 minutes a game. Now, whether or not that's a strategic move or just development from Whiteside, and it's probably a combination of both, you know, whatever it takes I don't see a world in which Whiteside could play 30 minutes a game. I just don't. Really good centers who don't have the baggage that Whiteside brings could barely get on the court for 30 minutes a game. I actually think if Whiteside is on the roster next year, we're probably going to see something closer to, we'll probably see his minutes, he'll probably play even fewer minutes during the regular season next season than he did even this season, where he went from basically playing 29, 30 minutes a game to 24 to 26 minutes a game. I could see that going to less than 25 minutes a game. And it would not surprise me. Whiteside just needed to be okay with it. And that's going to be, if Whiteside is on the roster next season, that's going to be the conversation that him and Spoelstra have to have. It's like, look, it's not you, it's the NBA, and I can only play you for 23 minutes a game, period. That's how the league works right now. You're still getting paid, and in those 22 minutes, you better be effective, and you can't play like you did in the playoffs. Or we're just going to bench you completely. We don't care how much we're paying you. And that, I think that's how that conversation has to go. But, you know, much easier said than done, of course. And then I do think that the Heat will explore trading Whiteside. Again, a lot of people are worried. They're looking at Riley's comments. Oh, he wants him back on the roster. He loves bigs. He loves guys like Alonzo Mourning. That's what he grew up on. That's kind of team that he likes to play with. But, you know, I do think that Riley, I also don't think that Riley is a big fan of ego. I mean, he constantly tells you that you got to take ego out of the equation for a team to be great. And that's one of his mantras. And Whiteside clearly has an ego. He clearly cares more about his own statistics and production than he does the team winning. And I do think Riley's going to try to trade him. And I think he is just simply being two things. Realistic that it's going to be difficult to trade Whiteside. And secondly, that you can't come out in a press conference and say we're going to trade Whiteside, because that also diminishes his trade value. Not that he necessarily spoke so highly of Whiteside that it would improve his trade value during this press conference. But then again, there's nothing really that Riley could do during a press conference to improve Hassan. Whiteside could come out and give him all the nice compliments, say he's your prototypical traditional big. He should have been an all-star this year, led the league in reboundings, one of the best shot blockers and rim protectors in the league. He could have said all of that stuff. Nobody would have cared. It wouldn't have improved Hassan Whiteside's trade value if Whiteside just came out and said he was a really nice guy or something like that. It doesn't work like that. So I think Riley was just being realistic about where this team stands with Whiteside, and really all you could do in this situation. And he kind of talked about the entire roster like this. He even talked about a guy like Wayne Ellington, about as if he were still be on the roster and wanting him back. And Eric Spoelstra during his press conference at the end of the year talked about wanting to have the entire group back. And that's not the first time you've heard Eric Spoelstra say something like that. I think that's what these guys do in these press conferences. They're not going to break news in this press conference and say, I want to trade Whiteside for anything we can get. That's just not going to happen. You talk about these guys like they're going to be here next year, and that's all you can. And if something happens during the summer where you trade one of them, then it happens and you deal with it. And then you move on. And hopefully that's what happens here with Hassan Whiteside. Again, I don't know how easy it's going to be to trade him. I really don't. I mean, I've been playing with the trade machine lately, guys, and it's not easy. I've seen some trades out there, some ideas, right? I've seen some a deal like with Washington. I read about this. I read about this the other day. I can't remember who the writer was, but mentioned that maybe the Heat could trade Hassan Whiteside to Washington. It would be Whiteside and Dion Waiters to Washington for Marcin Gortat, Ian Mahinmi, and Tomas Sinaransky. Now, a lot of you know that Mahinmi contract is almost as bad as the Whiteside contract, if not worse, considering the amount, the lack of production that they get from Mahinmi. At least Whiteside's good for a good game every month or so. Mahinmi's not. Gortat is 33, going on to 34 years old. He's long in the tooth, just, you know, to put it nicely. I think he sets good screens. That's about it. And then you look at a guy like Sadaransky. He doesn't match the type of scoring output that a guy like Dion Waiters can. A nice bench bit player, but nothing more so than that, really. I like him as a player, but that's really it. Just as a kind of guy that can come off the bench and just sort of run your second unit for a little bit. Long guy, good defender, that's nice. But he's not as good as Dion Waiters. Contract is better. But if you're the Heat, you look at that and you say, well, Gortat's deal is done after next season. Sadaransky's deal is done after next season. We'll be stuck with Ian Mahinmi for one more year after that, but not at nearly the cost. About $10 million less than they have to pay us on Whiteside 2 years from now. So if you're the Heat, that's not a bad deal. The other deals I'm looking at is if you're the Heat, you maybe move Whiteside to Dallas for Wesley Matthews' expiring contract. I think the Heat would do that in a heartbeat. The question is, would Dallas? Who knows? You got to call them and figure it out. But those are really the deals I think that are out. I saw somebody say that they could trade Whiteside to Portland for Evan Turner straight up, and the Heat wouldn't do that. Evan Turner, his contract is just too long. It just doesn't make enough sense for them to do it. Turner, like Whiteside, has 3 more years left on his deal, so there wouldn't be much of a cap alleviation there, and I think you would just be making a move to make a move at that point, and the Heat would be better off waiting for something else to come along. The Bucks have been out there. I've seen a lot on my Twitter feed lately, Jabari Parker for Hassan Whiteside. Let's end that conversation, guys. It's not happening. That ship has sailed. Was it possible one day? Was it possible maybe a year ago? I'd say it would. I think it might have been possible a year ago. Maybe. Not even a guarantee. Now it is impossible. Jabari Parker, even with 2 torn ACLs, is much more valuable than Hassan Whiteside. He just is, guys. I mean, the Heat would have to throw in Justice Winslow or Josh Richardson minimum to make that work. And to me, that's not worth it. I'd rather have Winslow or Richardson than Jabari Parker at this point, just because I know that they're healthy. More healthy than Jabari Parker, at least. So that's where we're at with Whiteside. We know that Pat Riley doesn't like to rely on the draft, but draft picks are still crucial to his team-building strategy. We'll talk about that when we come back after this break. Before we move on with the show, we want to take a quick break and tell you about our Patreon page. You can find it by going to patreon.com/lockedonheat. And we are humbly asking for people to commit to a monthly pledge to help us continue to improve the quality of the show. Thanks to you who have already supported the podcast, we have quickly reached our initial funding goal that allowed us to purchase software that improved the quality of the podcast. But we aren't just stopping there. We've added a new tier of supporters. For $5 a month, you'll get access to a bunch of goodies, including salary cap and depth chart projections, free agency player rankings by position, a running list of our favorite trade ideas, and whatever else we can think of. Just go to patreon.com/lockedonheat to get started. Again, that's patreon.com/lockedonheat. That's patreon.com/lockedonheat. So Pat Riley, as he is every year, was asked about the draft. And the Heat do not have a draft pick this summer. They don't have a first-round pick. They don't have a second-round pick. And so when he was asked whether or not the Heat would go out and try to get picks, or if they viewed the draft as a means to improve the team, Pat Riley said this, and here's the quote, "I believe every other year is good enough. If you can get players in free agency, young players, 25 or 26 years old, that need a place to really develop, and then you get a pick, and then you get another young player, and then you get a pick, that's fine." This was the most Pat Riley has really kind of given a glimpse into the way that he views the draft. We know, again, that he doesn't like to play rookies. He doesn't like to rely on rookies or prospects or something like that. and he's been more than willing to draft or to send first-round picks out to get great players. I mean, he sent away first-round picks to get LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Goran Dragic within the last few years, for example. We know that he doesn't necessarily value those first-round picks. But he doesn't value drafting players necessarily at those positions, specifically if we know that he's not going to tank like Philadelphia did. He even talked about Philadelphia a little bit during the press conference, but if they're not tanking so that they're picking in the middle of the first round, somewhere between 15 and 18, like he talked about, then he just doesn't view picking guys every single year at 15, 16, 17 as something that he wants to do. He just doesn't see that as a realistic way to build a championship team. He'd rather take those picks and trade them for guys for veterans who can play right away, which I'm okay with. Me and David argue a lot on this show about, you know, whether or not the Heat should tank or at least value draft picks more than they do. And I agree with that part of Riley's logic. It doesn't make sense to be picking at 17 every season. You're not going to build a team that way. You're going to be right where you are every year. If you keep picking at 17, you're just going to keep picking at 17. You're not going to end up picking at 1. You're not going to end up picking at 30. You're just going to keep picking right there. That said, Riley does value draft picks. He values them in the way that he can use them to trade them. And so my argument this entire time was that he keeps trading picks away willy-nilly, and you're not really getting anything in. Like, he kept moving second-round picks to get off of contracts like Shabazz Napier and Josh McRoberts and other guys. And my whole problem was that, you know, you can't just keep trading the second-round picks, because even those second-round picks are ammunition that you can use at the trade deadline. 2 years ago, and even this last season, almost every deal made at the trade deadline involved a second-round pick. Not every deal, but almost every deal involved at least a second-round pick. You need those picks to use and maneuver with at trade deadlines and during the offseason. You need them. That said, Miami's first pick to Phoenix is conveyed, and so they are now in an area where they could start moving those picks a little bit more. So it's not that Pat Riley doesn't like draft picks. It's just that he doesn't like necessarily using the draft pick every year on a rookie. And to go back to his quote here, he likes doing it every other year. He thinks that's, and I'm okay with that, right? If as far as staying young and updating the roster and keeping it young, keeping it flourishing, if you draft a player 1 year and then go out and find a 25, 26-year-old guy coming off of his first rookie, you know, coming off of a rookie contract who's maybe coming out of a bad situation, ready to develop. He mentioned a guy like Victor Oladipo during the presser. You go find guys like that, and then you draft one every other year, and you're kind of on-off that way. I like that. I'm all in for that. The problem with where Miami is right now is that they're not really in a position, not necessarily. Well, they don't have a draft pick this year, so they're not going to be able to draft a rookie, and they don't have any cap space to go out and get that 25- or 26-year-old player. So Pat Riley could say all of this, but they're not in a position to do either one right now. And now maybe if you're the Heat, you can sort of talk yourself into, okay, well, we're not going to be able to sign a 25-year-old player, but Dion Waiters is going to be 26, 27 next year. What is he going to be? He'll be 26. Dion Waiters is 26 right now, and so he'll be our young player that we add next year. Okay. All right. I mean, I guess, sort of. Like, and then you draft a player in 2019 and you're right back on track. All right, you could talk yourself into that, but how much better is Deion Waiters making you? I don't know. You know? Maybe a little bit. I mean, they could have used his shot-creating ability in the playoffs. That would have been nice, but they weren't going to beat the Sixers in a series just because they had Deion. You know? So now maybe are you able to move a couple of guys and go out and get a young 25, 26-year-old player? Maybe it's not CJ McCollum. Maybe it's not Kawhi Leonard, but maybe it's a notch below that. Maybe. Like, maybe that's what you do if you're the Heat. And then again, in 2019, you go out and you pick in the middle of the first round, and then the year after that, you've got some cap space, you pick up a guy, and that's how you do it. But, and then maybe you, or maybe you just start moving, when you start being able to trade those future first rounders a little bit more, you make a similar deal to what they did with Goran Dragic. And Pat Riley said, he'll take Goran Dragic over those two picks in the middle of the first round any day. And I agree with him with that. I do. Mostly. I think that having those picks could have opened the door to tanking. I think that could have been an option for them. But he talked about how when they made that deal, Chris Bosh was part of the roster, Dwayne Wade was part of the roster, and that team he thought could have contended for the Eastern Conference Finals, and he's probably right. He's probably right about that. Like, if Bosh had been healthy and Dragic being able to play there, that team won 48 games without Bosh for the second half of the season. That team probably could have competed, but you look at the way Boston built and Philadelphia built, the window would not have been long, and the ceiling would not have been high on that roster. So they're going to need internal improvement. To go back to the opening statement he made, they're going to need internal improvement to improve, and it's going to have to be massive. One of the things he talked about was that Josh Richardson can still improve, possibly to an 18 to 20 points per game score kind of guy. And if that's, I mean, if that happens, yeah, the Heat ceiling dramatically improves, and you can even trade a guy like Josh Richardson for a star player. But at that point, Richardson would be a borderline all-star. If he's scoring 18 to 20 points per game and playing the sort of defense that he plays, he would be a borderline all-star in the Eastern Conference. He also said that he looks at him more of a two-guard, which is something that we have said on this podcast for 2 years now, is that Josh Richardson is a two-guard. He's not a small forward. The Heat do need a small forward. I think that should be a priority for them this offseason, is going to get that, because it seems like Justice Winslow is more of a power forward, a small ball four, than he is a three, even though the Heat played him frequently at the three towards the end of the season. And in the playoffs off the bench, they played him both at both forward positions. But I think they need to find a traditional three, a guy with some length and some shot making and shot creation ability, and then maybe move Josh Richardson to the two, because he is more of a two guard. That is more of his position. And Pat Riley agrees with that. But they've got a lot of guys at two guard, including Wayne Ellington, possibly, who Riley wants back. Doesn't seem to be bothered by the luxury tax. Actually, just basically made fun of the luxury tax. Made fun of it. Just luxury tax, schmuxury tax, essentially, during the press conference. So, look, we've said on the show, there's no way the Heat are going to pay the luxury tax for this team. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they just don't care. Maybe that Mickey Arison is just like, look, I've got a cruise line. I'm living in Miami. I don't care. Make Pat Riley happy. Sign Wayne Ellington. If we go over the luxury tax, fine. I still don't think it's going to happen. I still think that Riley is just playing with Mickey Arison's money, essentially, and so he doesn't necessarily care about the luxury tax. I get it. And it's his job in some way to basically downplay the luxury tax, because if he's worried about the luxury tax, then his boss is worried about his luxury tax, and that doesn't work well for Pat Riley or Mickey Arison, because at the end of the day, they at least want to have the option of dipping into it, even if it is just to bring back Wayne Ellington. But look, they could bring him back at the mid-level, or they could bring him back with his early bird right exception. And if that's what they do, then that's what they do. If they're able to fit him under the roster somehow, it'll take another move. They have to trade another Whiteside contract or Tyler Johnson contract and take minimal money back. They'll have to figure it out. But he talked about Wayne Ellington like he wants him back. Talked about Wayne Ellington like he was a core piece, which is incredible to me. We'll see if that happens. He also mentioned that we got to talk about Dwayne Wade, because they asked him about Dwayne Wade. Doesn't want Dwayne Wade to retire. That's where Pat Riley stands. That's where Spo tends to stand. It's too emotional of a thing for them. They both have talked about that at the end of after the season. They just haven't even had the conversation with them because they don't want to face that sort of music. They don't seem hopeful. That's sort of my takeaway from that. Riley said, if you talk about retirement to a guy, chances are they end up just retiring. So it seems like he's just trying to avoid the situation altogether. I know that David and I had this conversation a couple days ago where we're both leaning towards Wade ends up retiring. I go back and forth whether or not it would be better for the team if he'd retire or not. Selfishly, I want him to play another year because I think it would be fun, because I just enjoy watching Dwayne Wade play, and he would be great to have in Miami for another season. And I think Riley agrees with that, and he said that they'll have a conversation in the near future, but nothing's been decided with that. And as far as other notes, he said that the Heat have a logjam of talent. That was his word, logjam of talent. It's hard to get guys minutes and shots. Talked about giving guys 14 to 20 shots per game, his main offensive weapons, his sort of featured players, right? Which is an interesting number. He mentioned 14 to 20 shots a game. Only Goran Dragic attempted at least 14 shots per game this season, 14.3, and he was an all-star. Nobody else even attempted 14 shots per game. So if you look at a guy like Goran Dragic, you could say, well, you were an all-star, you only took 14.3 shots per game. You could probably take 20 shots per game, increase your usage and increase your scoring output, and then go out and give a guy like Josh Richardson, 14 to 20 shots a game. And those are your featured offensive players. Riley said that those are his two most consistent offensive players, and I would agree with that, in addition to Olynyk, but not necessarily from a scoring output. So I think Riley was more talking about just scoring. And so I would agree with that. So do you take some shots away from a guy like James Johnson, Deion Waiters when he comes back, Tyler Johnson, does that experiment end? Or do you start bringing him off the bench a little bit more? And then, of course, that goes into Whiteside. You can't be giving Whiteside 20 shots a game. I mean, you can't give Dragic, Richardson, and Whiteside all 20 shots a game. You can't. So does Dragic increase his shot attempts per game? Doesn't really seem to be his way. I could see Richardson increasing his shot amount, the amount of shots he gets per game. I don't really see it from Whiteside, so maybe that's where the improvement comes with Josh Richardson. But look, this was a long press conference. We only got into a little bit of it. I tried to hit on the most important points. We'll be back. That's all we have for today, but I'll be back with David tomorrow. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockdownheat@gmail.com. Support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockdownheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.